But this was much lower than what there would have been back in the time of Jehoshaphat. 50, maybe 60 years before this, there would have been at least four times as many. You ask the question, well, what went wrong? Or what had happened during those years? Well, during the reigns of Jehoram and Ahaziah and Joash, there had been decline. Yes, there seemed to be some successes, but there had been decline. And the problem, folks, at the bottom of it all was sin. Now, we can dress it up and try to present it to you as something else, but it was sin. That was the problem. And sin weakens people anywhere. Sin dispirits people, whether it's in a country or a denomination or congregation or an individual life. It dispirits people, and it ultimately lessens their number, the number of those who would be zealous for the Lord. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. That has been our experience in the United Kingdom, Great Britain. Things were never absolutely perfect, and they never will be, but there was a day when the Bible was an open book, and when its word was taught and preached, and when there were those in power who sought to do their utmost to do the right thing for the people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So here we have again Amaziah. He wants to have what is looked upon as prosperity, and he goes and takes measures that we cannot agree with. And for you and I, as we seek to live for the Lord, and we want to preach the gospel, and we want to reach out to other men and women and show them that the gospel is good for them, we're entering Satan's domain. And while in 1951 there was all around that beginning of a falling away, folks, it was nowhere as dark as it is now. So it's harder now. And without what I mentioned to you earlier on regarding making a new law, just so we can tell you, here's what you're doing, whether you like it or not. It's a very frightening thing. So we're considering going forward, because that's what we must do as people and as a denomination. The title this morning is Considerations for the Way Ahead. Verse 8, we read it to you. God hath power to help and to cast down. I want you to notice first of all, the first consideration is this, that there was fleshly reasoning. Now, Amaziah had 300,000 people, and he thought, well, this is not sufficient. So to be, as you would say, on the safe side, he bargained for 100,000 more fighting men from Israel who were apostatized at that time. And in order to secure them, he laid down 100 talents of silver. You can see it there in verse 6. These men could fight. They were well trained, they were disciplined, and to the physical eye, they would be a great asset to Judah. Surely they would make up for any deficiency that had come through the years. Remember what we said? How the numbers had declined from 50 or 60 years before. But this was a desperate measure. And more than that, it was a measure that was taken because of fleshly reasoning, and because of what Amaziah, saw himself to be something which would help him. He was going to form an alliance now with those who were deceitful, and in truth, they were no friend of his. He was such a fool. They were no friend of his. And he could use the argument, and he probably did, to the people I know what some of you are thinking, but it's for the greater good of Judah that we have an extra 100,000 men. Over in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 31, there's reference here made to the war horse. You can read about the war horse in the book of Job. They were highly trained animals. And not only were they willing to charge into battle, but they were very keen to get at it. But there's very little reference made to relying on those horses, or very little said about them regarding God's people, because those horses were looked upon as a picture of earthly or fleshly help. And it says here in Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help." They had some great horses down there, war horses, "and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Amaziah's fleshly reasoning had led him to get it wrong. He had set aside that which had been very closely adhered to by some of those who had gone before him. Prosperity, if you want to call that, must be his at any cost. And folks, I wasn't around in 1951, just in the mind of God. But when you consider what days of apostasy and days of compromise are like, they bring a downgrade in gospel preaching. We end up with a social gospel, an easy believism, which degenerates into confusion. And you have people around you that don't know whether they're Christians or not. You have dishonorable behavior brought into God's house and looked upon as that which is part of worship now. It's all part of a departure, and it may be to keep favor with people or to seem to be, in the eyes of men, be prospering. But in 1951, there were people who said no. We've got to the point now, and people who were held in high esteem by their brethren, they said, "No, we're not doing that. No, we are for the pure, unadulterated preaching of the gospel, and whether you like that or not, it's a matter for you. But we're not embracing any downgrade." And folks, I mentioned half an hour ago that we're living desperate times in Northern Ireland. Desperate times politically. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Desperate times of uncertainty. Even we don't know what the outcome's going to be regarding the wake of this pandemic regarding mental health issues. Some people I'm talking to know something of it now, and it's certainly something that is frightening as well. But in our midst, and we don't want to forget this, in our midst, there is a silent holocaust. And it's the killing of the unborn child. And to come to us and say, "Well, you've had your opportunity now, the new law was passed some months ago or a year ago, whatever it was, and you haven't implemented," and certain people raising their voices saying, "You need to force it," and now they're saying, "Right, let's make a new law and let's force it upon them." That's where we are right now. You see, Amaziah, he didn't have to go for those 100,000 men. He could have turned to the Lord, because what he did was compromise. And the frightened people in Northern Ireland who are thinking, "Well, if we oppose the law, it's the law of the land." Leaders and laws are supposed to honor the Lord. But when they go against the word of God totally, and against the teaching of his word that we've believed for years, then what do we do then? Well, there was an example. I'm speaking here about these abortion laws. And if these are forced in upon us, and we know the thinking, we're not naive, we know the thinking, there'll be a big shout for a few weeks, and then they'll get over it, the way they always do. And they'll just embrace it. And they'll be doing with it, and we'll not hear much more from them. Well, over there, if you would look at Exodus chapter 1, there was the situation where the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh there, he had said that all the little boys should be killed when they were born. And in Exodus chapter 1, those who were midwives were told, they were told very clearly, kill him. If it's a boy, kill him. You and I cannot hardly understand the barbarity behind this. And now we have a possible law, unless something happens, it's going to come, where those with Down syndrome can be aborted right up to full term. My niece is a Down syndrome baby. And if anyone suggested killing her before my sister was able to give birth to her, I would not have been very happy. And you will understand that. And these midwives, they were not happy. It says in verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded him. They didn't do it. And if you look at verse 20, it says, therefore God dealt well with the midwives. They couldn't see it. They put their lives on the line. Remember, this was Pharaoh, barbaric, completely consumed with self, totally ruthless. He's saying, you kill all the boys. And they're saying, no, we're not doing it. And folks in Northern Ireland now, and again, as I say, I don't preach politics, but as far as I can see it, the threat is, oh, if you want to have all that you do have, then you're going to have to be doing with it. Well, my view is walk. Walk away for the sake of the boys and girls. People say, well, that's too extreme. We've made so much progress. What progress have we made? And now this is going to come upon us. And how many more children will be lost every year when this comes? Fleshly reasoning. Something to consider. Amaziah relied on his fleshly reasoning, but there is faithful regard. Let's look again over there at verse 8. That's the one we're concentrating on. God of power to help or to cast down. It says there, it shows us that a man come to him. Verse 7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, and with all the children of Israel. These were faithful words. He's saying here, you need to turn around and dismiss this 100,000 men that you have paid 100 talents of silver for. You need to get rid of them. It's a wrong association for you, and things are never going to go well until you separate yourself from them. You can't see it going well now, but you need to rely on the Lord. That's really what he's saying to Amaziah. He's saying that you're really substituting what the Lord would have you to do for the help of these boys. Over in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 12 says there, take heed to thyself. You can study these in context yourself. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. People are warned, be very careful what you're doing. And that is exactly what Amaziah was being warned about now. And folks in Northern Ireland, again, we, we are at a crossroads. Everybody's looking for good weather and for relaxing of restrictions so that it can get away for a day, and maybe we can even plan to have a few days away in the summer. And that's all very understandable. But you and I, as Christians especially, we have huge responsibility regarding not only our fellow countrymen, but those that are coming after us, and as much as anyone, the unborn babies. He's showing here in Exodus chapter 34 that those that you think you're going to align yourself with, they become a dead weight to you. So it was going to be for Amaziah, and so it will be for us. Alliances and who we make them with are very, very important. And while those who Amaziah was going to align himself with, he could find the similarities to sell it to the people, the Lord knew it wasn't right. And folks in Northern Ireland, maybe everybody has some similarities, or nearly everybody. But there's that which is right and that which is wrong. And it does not matter about the whims of people. It does not matter what people try to force upon you. The time comes when you must say, no, you're not doing that. Or rather, no, I'm not doing that. Remember the midwives in Egypt? They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And we need to really, really pray, because if this law, there's only one law, if this law is implemented, then things are going to change. And how do you get a change back? See, it is a stepping stone to many more things that you hold dear. Remember this, that God knows all about the situation. He knows about the great dread and grief that there is in the hearts of many people, and people who are not Christians, many of them are really, really brokenhearted. Really brokenhearted at the thought of what can happen now. And you and I would want to pray, men and women, but we need to take on board here this faithful regard here from the man of God that come to him, and he said, what you're doing here, Amaziah, you're actually flying in the face of God. Flying in the face of God. I want you to move on to something else. We're looking here at considerations for the way ahead. There's not just the fleshly reasoning. He thought he should have this help, and they would help him. Wouldn't matter really about a few differences that were there. Big, huge differences. Then there was faithful regard. This man come to him and he said, don't do it. And you and I are praying. And we're praying, and we're not political leaders or anything like that. But there is a way. And I'm not telling anyone what you should do or who should vote for anything. There is a way. You either swallow it and shut up and be done with it, or else you walk away from it and say no. You can threaten us with whatever you like, but we're not going to be part and parcel of the killing of these children. No matter what you do, we're not going to do it. We need to pray. Pray for those in authority. But there is also here the promise of reward. Please look at verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. This was a huge amount of money. And Amaziah was very concerned about it. And he was thinking, well, what about this large sum of money that we have given away? What if we turn her back and we tell these people to just go home? We don't want them anymore. What about my money? The man of God said to him, he said, the Lord's able to give you more than that. The words are there for us. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. And whatever your opinion is, that's up to you, but it's hard to see real prosperity in Northern Ireland at the moment anywhere. And how there has been a coming forward, I can't see it. But I know that there are many well-meaning people, and they will think, well, but what about the ground that we've made? The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is no man's debtor, and the Lord honours them that honour him. In other words, the Lord will recompense you. Not necessarily in material things, but the Lord will recompense you. I don't know what happened to those midwives in Egypt, but it does say the Lord dealt well with them. I'm sure they thought they were going to die. But they thought, well, how can I live if I stand by and put to death all these little boys just because of a tyrant? And folks, it's still the same with the Lord. There's a very encouraging passage over here. If you would turn over a couple of pages, please, to chapter 27 in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 27. Reading here about Jotham. You see it there. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. Let's go down to verse 5. He fought also with the king of the Amorites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver. There's the money back. There's 100 talents of silver that Amaziah was so concerned about. His grandson Jotham now, he's got it back. But look at the interest rate. He got his 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. What an interest rate there was. Do you remember what the man of God said? The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Well, here it is. Here it is in black and white for every generation to see that the Lord is as good as his word. They got their 100 talents of silver back, and they got all of the rest as interest. And folks, if we decide and we say, well, we're going through with the Lord and we're on the Lord's side, I am sure you look sometimes on the news in other countries, what is happening with Christianity, where people are being threatened not to meet, some have been thrown in prison, some are dying because they are Christians. People have been harassed. Sometimes people have been separated from their children because they're teaching the word of God and it's and bringing them to meetings, and it's looked upon as destroying the child. That wasn't always the case there. But things have gathered momentum. And who's to say that that can't happen in Northern Ireland? We're in a place with laws in this country now that some of you who are here, you never thought they would be here, ever. They're here. It hasn't finished yet. And when you and I think of God's faithfulness, God is able to give you much more than this. Think of popularity, self, even friends. In the light of eternity, what difference does it make if we do the right thing? Do the right thing at this time, even regarding the boys and girls. So Amaziah had a choice to make, and so do we as a people. We know what's coming. It can be prevented. Interesting to see what happens. Folks, you and I feel powerless, but we can pray. We can pray. Notice finally, regarding Amaziah here, these considerations and the way forward. Notice his devout resolve. If you look there, it says in verse 10, and Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. The word home there, you'll see in the margin, means to go to their own place. Go back where you come from. He told them to go home again. Verse 11, and Amaziah strengthened himself. That's what he should have done to start with. He should have strengthened himself in the Lord to begin with. But now there's resolve there. He's been swayed in the right direction. He's going to hold on to God's promises. We've mentioned to you that Jotham reaped the reward. I don't care if I do get any reward. I mean that if I go to my grave with no reward and things bad in the land, well, I can put up with that as long as those who are coming after don't. If they're going to get the reward, I'm more than happy for that. Children, grandchildren, great children, grandchildren, whatever it is, we want it for them, not for us. Joseph didn't get it, by the way. As far as having it in his hand, it was his grandson, Joseph. That was even better. because it was for those who came afterwards. And he went forth now in faith and fervency, and he found favour with the Lord. And so will we. So will we. We have sought to witness for the Lord for 70 years and to do that which was right for him. Sometimes people didn't like it. We done it anyway. Then over these last few decades, things have been different. And maybe there's been that decline in those willing to align themselves with separated churches that believe the Bible and that are against immoral laws being passed. A decline, but that can change. Because the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Remember the words of verse 8. For God hath power to help and to cast down. We need him to do both at the moment. We need him to help the cause of right. And we need him to cast down that which is evil. There, folks, we asked you please to pray. Pray as you've never prayed before. As we enter now year 71 of our witness. Yes, that we'll be found faithful in preaching the gospel and being outside the camp for the Lord. And that the Lord will save many precious souls. But the responsibility to the unborn, responsibility to the young people coming after, it is certainly something that we cannot overlook. I trust as we have looked at some considerations on the way ahead, that the Lord will help all of us to be found faithful to him in the coming days and years.